His old man Simon.
It's gonna be a lot of me
Yeah,
gasping and sipping
he's
today.
turned into an old man, wheezing, puffing, sipping. Well, I'm
Hey man,
sorry we missed each other, man.
don't make me regret that I got out of bed for this.
Oh, surprised you did, actually, man.
I needed to do something. Have you had any experience with mono? Have you had
No.
mono before or anything?
No.
So I have one of these, rare cases, and I've told you about it, where it comes back. And each time just lays me out for weeks,
Yeah.
And so I try to be really healthy, I try to eat
Yeah.
healthy, go to gym, do all the stuff. But it's one of these mortality reminders where it's like, you can do whatever you want. It's still gonna knock you on your ass,
Yeah. Yeah. You're human. You're a
Yeah.
human being, Simon. No matter what you think, what you did think, you are human.
It's a not subtle reminder.
Yes. Not subtle. It's like a kick in the ass reminder.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I want you to get better. And I'm sorry we missed each other on the
Yeah,
visit, man.
man.
I
Of
wanted to
all the
come see you.
timing,
I
well,
know.
the
It's okay.
timing of it was just terrible. And I was convinced that I was gonna make myself get better. And Shannon's like, that's not how it works,
He's a real life Simon.
So when I started coming down with it, I gave myself like 24 hours. I was
Yeah.
like, how am I? And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I was like, so that's when I called you and said, or
Yeah.
text you or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what you're like when you're sick or whatever. And I'm not normally like this, I don't think, when I was sick, but with mono, I lose all perspective and I just don't do anything.
Yeah.
And like, I'll know people are messaging me. I have probably 20, 30 unread messages from the last week that I'll maybe never get around to responding to.
Maybe
Because that's
never.
just what happens.
You're
I'm
like,
like, it's too late. I missed the window.
you're
I'm
in
not
the
even going to
black hole.
respond
It's in the
anymore.
black
Yeah,
hole.
exactly.
Nothing can get out of there. Not even light.
Oh man.
Well, I appreciate
Anyway.
you definitely getting up for this. We won't do too long because I could tell this is difficult for you, you know.
It's so sad how difficult things are right now.
Yeah. It's so sad.
It's so pathetic. All I can do is laugh at myself, at
Yeah.
times like
Yeah.
these, where it's just like, I mean, if you were to check my symptoms, you'd probably come away as like, oh, he's just tired,
Yeah.
but it's that ultra fatigue, where it's like,
Yeah.
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, but that's good. Like all the fevers, because it was a week of fevers and everything,
Yeah.
I don't have an appetite when I get the mono, so I've only recently started eating like real meals,
Yeah.
And like
Right.
one a day, that's all I got in
One
me.
a day. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't force myself to eat more than that. But
Yeah.
so anyway, it's just a steady, it'll take the time it takes to recoup.
Sure.
That's
This is
all.
the mono
So
episode. Yes.
yeah,
This
this Oh man. So I won't even like watch TV a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I have days where I just lie in bed.
Really?
And I just think.
Yeah.
You know how terrible that is?
What have you been thinking about?
Oh, everything, man. I mean, gosh, what haven't I been thinking about is the real question,
Just think.
I'll give you one. Mother's Day is coming up. And I was thinking about, and I'm gonna butcher the name, so I'm not even gonna bother with saying it. It's like Huggaroth or something. Anyway, it's an ancient Jewish text from around like 400 CE, Common Era.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a creation story, basically is like talking about Genesis. But one of the interesting factoids in it, or beliefs, is that in it's too entertaining. I gotta say the whole thing.
Okay.
When a man and a woman copulate, there's an angel that comes down
Okay.
and removes the sperm from the woman,
Oh.
takes it up to heaven, and presents it to God.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like pornographic about any of this. This is just like what a spiritual belief. And what's
Yeah.
interesting about it is that believing in a preexistence is rather unique. There are very few, beliefs, especially amongst Christians and things like that, that believe that we existed before birth,
Yeah.
right? So Mormons believe in a preexistence, and this Jewish text believes in a preexistence. And anyway, so there are spirits that exist in a place where God has made for them. And when this angel comes down and brings a sperm and presents it to God, God decides which spirit was going to go and enter into that sperm, and then they bring it back down to the mother. Okay, here's the interesting part, if that wasn't interesting enough.
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
Well, there's several interesting things. One of the things is that the spirit doesn't want to go, and this is one of my favorite moments in the whole text. The spirit doesn't want to go, and it has no interest in going down to earth, and tells God so. And the spirit says, I'm happy where I am in the heaven that you've made for me
Yeah.
and the other spirits. God responds, the place I'm sending you is better than the place you've been.
Yeah.
I don't know all the ins and outs of that belief of what that heaven is, but it's at least a heaven, where spirits reside and God has made for them, and God is telling the spirit that earth is better. I think that's hugely profound, especially amongst faiths who oftentimes talk about how bad this world is.
Yeah.
Talk about how this is a terrible, world. It's a fallen world. Well, God says that this fallen world is better than the heaven we came from.
Yeah.
That's interesting thing number one. Interesting thing number two, and this is what comes up with Mother's Day, is that the spirit is referred to as she. But when the baby is born, it's born a he. Now, I don't want to read too far into that, but there seems to be something to it
Yeah.
about spirit being feminine, even when it's born masculine.
Yeah.
That there is something about us that requires the feminine within us, and that God wants it that way.
Yeah.
So I had posited this before, and we might have talked about it, but I've actually challenged it, certain Christians with this idea. So that Adam was born male and female, everything. And then when Eve was created, according to the story, is all I'm
Sure.
saying, that femininity was taken out of Adam. And that's why a man and a woman come together to bring back the masculine and the feminine, which then gives us a nice little spin on, well, what if somebody, maybe they're male and they have feminine qualities and maybe they're homosexual? That might be closer to what God intended in the first place. Or if you're female, of course, and homosexual, that also might be, closer to what God intended in the first place, where you encapsulate all of these things. You're male and female at the same time.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, there you go. That's my little
Okay,
thing.
listen, what are you doing when you're laying down? I mean, what if this is a one of the varieties of thoughts, the other thoughts must be unbelievable too. These are different takes, you know.
Oh man, I'm gonna.
Interesting though, very interesting. Are you sure you weren't in a stupor of a haze of
I'm gonna admit to you that I've been high a lot of the time because
I'm glad you admitted that. I was very high last Friday too.
well, the painkillers alone just weren't doing it. They weren't cutting the fever enough. They weren't, I wasn't comfortable enough to sleep. But I found painkillers plus an edible, plus a gummy. All of a sudden, now I'm okay. Now I'm like, yeah, so that's been my little cocktail
That's
to
beautiful.
actually be able to survive. And so yeah, and you know, if you're lying around, I mean, one of the worst parts of lying around is how sore and achy you
I
get
know, right?
lying around. It's the worst. And so some of the painkillers and stuff like that haven't even been for the symptoms of the mono. They've been from lying around so much that I just ache everywhere.
And have these incredible thoughts.
So anyway,
I
that's
actually think it's a very interesting take. You know what I like about you, Simon? You push the envelope. And I think that's what's required to gain a deeper understanding of these issues and other issues. It's kind of like the same thing we do with movies. I think we try to push the envelope in talking about movies. Like we're gonna be talking about Three Amigos. Okay. On the surface, you're like, oh great.
yeah, gotta really push the envelope here.
You son of a mother, let's
He
go.
called us scum sucking pigs. Us.
Us.
So let's talk about Three Amigos because I think it's a slapstick, silly comedy, but somehow the reason it wins where other comedies fail is actually that it's kind of subtle. I hate to use the word subtle with Three Amigos, but you know what I mean when I'm saying like it's over the top but not over the top at the same time. It's the little things. It's that the bandito who's reporting to El Guapo is offended
He's
that he was
offended.
called a scum-sucking pig. I mean that's the kind of like subtle humor that makes Three Amigos so great.
This is great because even think about it. First of all, it was one of my favorite movies growing up. I watched this movie so many times. My brother and I were like quote machines from this movie. But I always thought, as I've gotten older, thought about, okay, it's these three guys and they're like movie guys. And then like they believe like these guys are the guys in the movies. It's like they're like, no, it's just a movie. They're like, no, we need real help here.
Well, they did it like they placed it at the best time and everything where, you know, film, you know, so we can actually bring this back to, I mean, we can make this comparison here because sometimes when you have a new technology, it's hard for the common person to decipher fact from fiction. So, and these technologies that we're going to be talking about are storytelling technologies. So let's take the written word. For early humans, very difficult to decipher fact from fiction, right? When, especially with early written histories and things like that. It's the argument we're having all the time. In regards to the Bible, is it reliable or is it partially myth and legend mixed in with, you know, fact? And so when those when what's her name, Carmen and her little brother, when they go to see this this movie and it's the Three Amigos, you know, film hasn't been around a long time. Is this, what are we watching? Is this fact? Is it fiction? Are these guys real?
Are
Are
they
they not
real? Can they
real?
help us?
Yeah. Is this a newsreel or is it a completely made up story? You know, kind of difficult to be able to tell there. So that's some of the subtle brilliance of the Three Amigos where they set it in the, you know, in the time period where you could have movie stars, but at the same time, especially maybe in a poorer part of Mexico or someplace like that, they might not realize what a movie star actually is.
Right.
They might not be able to tell the difference between a movie star and, you know, something that's real.
Right, a gunslinger or someone who's actually like,
Yeah.
oh, and so they actually think they can help them, you know, and it's they think it's like a job. Like
Yeah.
it's
They're just three wealthy landowners who
yeah.
go around doing good, you know?
Wearing strange, culturally inappropriate outfits, probably for like
Yeah. Wearing the Las Vegas version of
Las Vegas. It's like the Elvis
Yeah.
outfits. It's like,
Which
you know,
is
they're
so
singing and
great.
dancing the routines, you know. It's
Oh
like,
man.
and then when I
See,
like when it
all of
gets
that
real,
is
they're like,
so
oh, this is
awesome.
real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Well, it feels like Robin Hood and his merry men.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh, these guys are jolly,
Right.
which isn't accurate to the original Robin Hood stories, a lot of them, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the power of film. I'm like, what film also does for people? That's kind of like you see something that's fantastical and amazing, and then you try to like, man, apply that to, well, maybe this is bigger than what it is. And in this case, it's like, you know, we need help. Maybe these guys can help because they seem so brave. And
Yeah.
they, you know, it's they got their little routines.
And you know, nothing's changed.
Agreed. Totally
Nothing's
agree.
changed. This reminded me, and it just popped into my head this when the whole voter fraud thing was going down,
Yeah.
you know, and I was trying to talk to a a high school friend, you know, whatever. And tell them it was all, you know, bullshit.
Yeah.
But, you know, they watched the TV and they watched what was the famous female lawyer for Trump who was in the forefront of all the election
Well, they
fraud
had
scandal stuff?
the Kraken.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I can't
Yeah.
remember her name, but yeah, she was nutty.
Well, he was like fully on board with her. He thought she
Wow.
was an American hero and thought that she would never lie like that. She would never stake
Yeah.
her reputation as a lawyer and things like that on it. And I'm just like, well, I think you're wrong, you
Yeah.
know. And I don't want to say, I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, maybe she believes it too.
That's right.
So I'm not going to say she doesn't, but she can be wrong too.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm saying.
Right.
Well, you know, skipping ahead 4 years, you know, and now she's like not even able to practice law now or
Right.
whatever, and having
Yeah.
to, I mean, all of these people are having to, you know, come out and say, oh yeah, we didn't have
Yeah.
anything. We didn't have any, you know, we
We didn't
thought we
have
were gonna
anything.
get something, but we didn't have anything. So we were
Yeah.
just saying stuff until we found something,
It's kind of like
which
they believe the movie and then like the hype is so big. It's like a blockbuster movie. The hype is so
Yeah.
big. All the Avengers is going to be amazing. You
Oh
know, you
yeah.
see all the trailers and stuff and whatever you think of the movie, but maybe it's just like you start believing you're a superhero. I'm Steve Rogers. I'm Captain America. And it was falling into this big time to Tucker Carlson, you know, who's like late, like he's really falling into like a really sad situation where like he had a comment the other day.
Yes.
He literally believes that Alex Jones is a prophet and that he's channeling prophecy. I'm like, wait. What? Like
I don't
this
understand guys
it's
like
I don't
him.
get that. Like that's a level of cognitive dissonance that is so far removed from my reality. I don't even know what to do about that. You know, it's like
Yeah. I mean, in his defense, probably most people who call themselves prophets all sound
yeah.
like raving lunatics
It's
to
true.
those who don't believe in their
Right.
prophecies, you
It's
know.
so true.
I mean, you know, I've said that about Jesus. You know, I said one of the biggest miracles to me
Yeah.
is that anybody believed Jesus.
Right.
That's
That
one of the
incredible,
biggest
though? Like,
miracles. Yeah.
yeah.
Because I mean, he's just one more street preacher. Why should anybody
Right.
believe him? And I've said that many times too, where it's like, if Jesus were here today preaching the way he did back then, you would ignore him. You would walk by and you'd say, another crazy dude. Another crazy dude.
It's true. Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. There's, well, he would be called, he would be like too, probably too liberal for a lot of disciples. Wait a minute. You care about people? You want to help your neighbor? What?
It's all like, this about taking care of the poor.
What is that? No, leave your possessions? What? This guy's a fraud. Like, but then the disconnect, this maybe happens Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, yeah, I'm into that idea. But not Monday through Saturday. Yeah, it's a Sunday situation. It ain't no Monday through Saturday situation.
Which I'm down with. Hey, if I can get saved just on Sunday, then, you know, I mean, that's great for me.
That's like a great name for a show, Saved on Sunday.
That is a great name
for a show. Shitty the rest of the week.
Yeah. It sounds like a great show about like a pastor who's just shit all week long. And then he gives the most beautiful sermons on Sunday. You know?
You got to see this one thing I saw. Michelle and I were watching this, and it was, I forgot, it was some like expose on like pastors who were like just really lost it. Like just, and this guy, they showed his sermon, and he was talking about like sexuality and Christ. And this sermon was like called like the Shaft of Christ. I'm not joking.
Wow.
And he started like, he had a gun at the pulpit. He had a gun, and then he was simulating masturbation. Like, it was crazy. And they panned the people in the audience and they were like shocked, but no one said anything. And I said, you know what? I kind of get that reaction, because you're thinking, what am I seeing here? Like, like, what is happening? Now, this guy got brought up on charges, a bunch of other stuff. He was a real terrible guy.
Wow.
But this is like what's happening in a lot of these places. Like, really strange stuff, man. Like, really strange.
Really strange stuff. I keep seeing, I've been, because it's an election year, there's only so much news I can take, you know?
Right. Only so much crazy you can handle.
Yeah. You know, I already think Biden's a decent guy, perfect, but he's already, I mean, if it's between him and Trump, I already know who I'm voting for. I don't need to keep watching all the drama unfold every day, you know?
It's Biden. I'll put this out there. It's a definite Biden. Listen, let me tell you this right now. I told this to Michelle and a bunch of other people. Everybody listen to my podcast, you're welcome. I would vote for a stone that was on the ground before I'd vote for Trump. I'm not joking. Yeah. A window that was open.
They would make better decisions.
Exactly. A window that was wide open and had bees flying into my house and stinging me. I'd still vote for that.
Yeah.
Biden's the least of my worries.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not worried about him taking down democracy.
Know? Versus the guy who, it's just as unbelievable, who put the moves on Stormy Daniels by laying in his disgusting tidy whities in his bed. It's just, get that picture in your mind.
And saying, you remind me of my daughter.
Yeah. That's yeah, that's the one. Think about that, people. That's the guy.
Oh man.
If you saw a guy, Simon, seriously, if you knew someone like that, you wouldn't vote for them to clean your house.
No, I wouldn't trust them with anything. You know, I mean, honestly, it's just crazy to me that anybody would, but.
But, you know, here we are.
Here we are.
It's a movie, right? Trump's like indicative of a movie. Like, to me, a lot of people saw The Apprentice and they got this movie version of Trump and they thought, he has this tagline, you're fired. And it's this whole fantasy. And it's probably just a character until they realize, no, this is really the person.
Like, yeah.
He's really that much of a douchebag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He just says things. He shoots from the hip. You know, he just says stuff. Yeah. But, you know, if there's one thing I will say about Trump, you know, he does try to make things come true that he says.
He definitely does try that.
I mean, you know, he is ambitious in that way. So,
The evil ambition. He's like Dr. Evil.
So I would never say, oh, he just says things, because he has a track record of really working hard to make those things
He legally
come
tries. The guy has been in court more than any human in history, I feel like.
Doesn't he get tired of it?
I know, I
I
would
would
be
get
tired of
tired of
that.
it. I would get so tired of it. I'd be like, you know what? I'm gonna liquidate everything and retire. That's what I would do. I honestly don't know why he's in it anymore, but I think he's
Well,
in it to stay out of jail.
to stay out of jail. And also, this is great because this is a tie back to Three Amigos, right? The Three Amigos guys, I mean, they think it's a job. It's money. They're gonna get paid, right? It's like, oh, okay, more money? Sounds good to me. Oh, it's down here. They don't realize the danger of their decisions. And I think there's a lot of parallels to that in life, is people just don't see danger a lot. They think it's like, I always equate this to, like, I feel like when I was growing up, there was a big movement to like look both ways across the road. You know, you looked around, you understood there's danger, someone could hit you with a car. And now I see a lot of people, they never do that. They just cross over the crosswalk, jaywalk. And their whole thing is like, I don't think I'm going to get hit. Actually, I don't believe that's going to happen to me. And then when it does happen to someone, it's like a shock that it happened. It's like, they're just like, the danger is not, it's not imminent to them. And I think a lot of people, and whether it's the Three Amigos, the danger was not imminent to them until it got real. When they're shooting those guns, those are real, those are real bullets. It's like, this is not blinks. Yeah,
Oh,
it's like
great. Real bullets.
real bullets, Steve Martin. It got real, and then they got scared. You know, they wanted to
It's one of my
leave.
favorite little times where they're all crying and they're trying not to cry.
Just like,
I'm gonna go try to talk to
talk to me.
him.
Such a good. And they just like start, they didn't in the whole thing when they're like, the hordes are going and they're shooting the guns, and it's like, dance. You know, it's
And
like,
the way they just have no shame. They have no
no shame.
shame. They're just like, we're out of here.
Yeah,
We're
you
out of
know what?
here.
Forget about these people. You know, it's like, a lot of parallels. You're right. It hasn't changed. You know, what does it take for the bullet to fly for people to go, oh, this is real? Like, there's real danger here.
I mean, you would have thought that January 6th would have been that bullet.
Yeah.
You would have thought.
Yeah, you would have thought.
But it's amazing what people will believe. It's
Yeah.
amazing. Like the mental loop-de-loops people will go
Yeah.
through
Yeah.
to try and make sure that they weren't wrong, which,
Right.
people sometimes don't believe me because they think I'm really egotistical, and they're half right. I am very egotistical, but I want to be wrong
Yeah.
sometimes. At least sometimes I want to be wrong, because that's
Yeah.
how you learn things.
Right.
You
Of
learn
course.
by being wrong, or at least misinformed or ill-informed or uninformed.
Yeah.
I mean, once you realize that you are any of those things, now you can learn,
Yeah.
what's real. And so the problem that we have is people not coming to grips with that, not butting up
Yeah.
against that, not saying, not telling themselves, hey, I'm wrong. They're instead saying, oh, they must be wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, they am all of them. They must be wrong. I'm the only right one.
Yeah.
Everybody's lost but me.
Everybody, yeah, it's like, okay, all right. And you know, the sad part to me is when I hear about people losing their families over stuff like this, you know, the divide between family members. I know there's some clients that have like, they're this is happening. And even like, I think there was a guy who's a big Trump guy. I think he's an Alabama guy. He lost an election, Roy something. I can't remember his last name. But
I remember
he
him.
talked about how all his children disowned him because they were sane people and they were like, this is crazy. He just kept going with the lie. He just kept going with it. And you can't lose your, how deep does it have to be when your children are like, Dad, I don't want to be around you. This is crazy, you know?
You know, and I think I'm really grateful for sane parents, you know, who, you know, are, you know, my dad might have his political opinions or whatever, you know, and we'll have political conversations and stuff like that, but nothing's on the line. You know what I mean?
Nothing's on the line.
Yeah, there no relationship with my father's on the line if we disagree about who the next president should be. You know, nothing's on the line if we disagree about something, you know, a religious topic or something like that, you know. And but that's even not always the case. And I'll share with you some that we had some little drama. You'll actually be really amused by this. So there was a mistaken one of these things that only that happens in text messaging, especially in group text messaging. Somebody makes a comment. Somebody else says something or posts something in the link, and it seems to be responding to that comment, but it wasn't. But it seemed really offensive, but it was not meant to be. We had a situation like that in my own family text. And somebody in my family had posted a talk by one of the Mormon church leaders, an old talk from like 2008 or something like that, but he just read it recently and thought it was really good, and he put it up there. Well, it seemed like it was responding to something that my wife had just written, and I knew that my wife was not gonna take that well, so I decided I'll step in because I don't want any back and forth to happen between my wife and my siblings, because that will be uncomfortable. But if I do it, it's fine. So I wrote a rebuttal to the talk. My rebuttal might have been longer than the talk.
I'm sure it was, Simon.
Because you know me.
I'm sure it was very long.
You know me. And I tried to make it short, but I was in my little groove of just writing and just saying, okay, well, here's how I think this talk is wrong about XYZ and this and that and the other. And I also think this guy's misusing scripture for his own messaging. And here's how he's doing it. This is what the scripture actually says. Here's what it actually means. All those kinds of things. Now I'm accused of being a hater because I don't like what the church leader said. And let me put this out there. Perfectly fine guy. He's not one of these crazy guys masturbating with a gun. I just disagreed with his messaging, and I disagreed with how he went about it. That's all. But it turned into a big thing. Turned into a big deal. One of my siblings was saying that they were close to like not wanting to talk to me anymore. And they were saying like, oh, you just judge people and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, yeah, but no. I mean, but here's the thing. In my little rebuttal, I even said, if I'm wrong about anything I've said here, I'm totally fine with that. Just show me how I'm wrong, and then we can move on. Nobody wants to show me how I'm wrong. They just want to tell me I'm wrong. You're wrong because this guy is one of the church leaders and you're not. It's one of the, you know, worst fallacies that we can have, you know, where, you know, you appeal to authority, you know, and it's like, I'm sorry, but if you can show me how he's right and I'm wrong, then I'm fine. But you can't just tell me he's right and I'm wrong without showing me. Here's where my ego comes in. I'm too smart for that. I'm sorry, but you know, that is not how my brain works. But nobody will do it. And that is one of my really big pet peeves when it comes to anything religious. I want to have a logical conversation. I just want to say, okay, I think the Apostle Paul is wrong. Here's my reasonings why. Okay. And then the response 9 times out of 10 is, Well, you're wrong because the Apostle Paul is the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
You
But
know?
that translates to almost anything. That's still so relevant. Like it could be so in my business, if someone sees whoever, Billy Blanks, Jillian Michaels, or some very large fitness celebrity, YouTuber, they think because they have mass appeal, popularity equals authority. I've just never subscribed to that. I just
No.
like, I think you like maybe you want that because this person's in the limelight. My big thing is like just because someone is on TV a lot or in a movie, they're not better than me. Like they just happen to do something that puts them in this format. It does because they make a certain amount of money does not make them the my authority on whatever. And in fact, they may not even know much about the thing they're doing either, by the way. It's like I
Chances
question
are a
that
sponsor
too.
is paying them
Yeah.
to do and say what they're doing. And you know, and once again, I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt. So I will say, you know, all right, well, they're giving out the best information they have. I might have better information than they do, but to your point, their celebrity status does not give them better information.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Trump's celebrity status does not give him better information. That's
No,
obvious.
it's obvious. And it's a whole thing. This is what fooled a lot of people in 2016, I think, is they were fed up with the establishment, their perception of, you know, Congress. This was the whole drain the swamp thing, you know, like
Yeah.
we need someone else in there. This assumption that this person's been on TV. He has all these Trump Towers, hotels. He must be a good businessman for that. Instead of actually looking deeper into the weeds of actual business, and he actually doesn't own most of those towers, by the way. It's just a name. And he actually really has nothing to do with a lot of this stuff. And it's like, but no one wants to tell you, wants to do the work to see if that's actually true or not. They just believe it. That's what we do. We just like give people our power. Oh, we give away our power to people and we never question. This is the guru. We give our power away to the guru, and the guru says, Simon, you're no longer allowed to visit your family. They're no good for you. And you're no longer allowed to, you must live here with us. You can't be exposed to people outside of here. This is bad. They're not of this world, right? If you give your power to a guru, whether it's the Trump guru, whether it's the Bhagwan and Wild Wild Country, whether it's the hot yoga dude, you know, whoever it is, you know, the Shaft of Christ guy, pastor, the pastor's a guru to a lot of people, you know. You have to be able to question the guru. And it doesn't mean it's over, but it means you know, like you said, that knowledge is the enemy of that guru. When you know stuff about the guru, you gain knowledge, that's the enemy to the guru, you know.
You know, they don't want you to have that information. That was actually one of the points I was making in my rebuttal to that talk, because I felt like the talk was taking an anti-intellectual stance. And you know, of course I'm not about that at all. I felt like some of the messaging in there, and sometimes it's subtle, and I feel like people don't always recognize the subtle messaging, how words are used, how they're grouped together. And I think sometimes even the writer, you know, doesn't realize what they're doing when they group certain words together, because what you do is you when you so he was putting together like things like different kinds of sin or whatever, you know, that he might think. And but he was grouping them together, and when you group them together, now you've put them all in the same category, whether you meant to or not, is the point I'm making. So, and the other point I made actually in the group, because you know somebody was telling me, oh well, you shouldn't, you know, they're like, I'm not comfortable with, you know, questioning an apostle or whatever. And I said, well, that's tyranny. I mean, that's what it is. When you're not allowed to question the establishment, and to the point you were making, and I'm going to add to it, is that we should always question our in-group as if it's our out-group.
Yeah.
So if you're a Republican, you should be questioning the Republican Party. You already
Yes.
think you know you don't want to be Democrat.
Right.
So, and the same with Democrats. You
Right.
already know you don't want to be a Republican. Now start looking at your own party and see if it's actually what you want it to be.
Yeah.
And the same with your church community,
That's
and the
right.
same with, anything that you're involved in. I mean, I really feel like that was one of Jesus's most basic messages, was to look at your own religion, look at your own belief system, and see if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
See if the people who are teaching you are teaching it right.
That's right. Isn't that amazing? It requires a different level of thinking. Like, I mean, I have to be honest. I mean, I was guilty of this in my 20s. Like, I just was like, yeah, this sounds right. It's like,
Yeah.
no further thought.
Feels good.
Feels good, man. Sounds right.
Yep.
And I think that knowledge, I think part of the issue too is like, there's this. Like maybe in this instance, what you're saying is like, oh, you don't question the apostle. There's a real fear of doing that, of what that actually would mean. And I think for a lot of people, it means, well, what if the outcome was not what I want it to be? What if I
Yeah.
actually question this and the outcome led me to somewhere else? They would be lost. They feel like, what do I, what would my life, what was my life then?
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, like. And my only thing is like, actually, this is a good thing. Like,
Yeah.
I don't see the bad stuff about that. I don't get that. Like,
It feels that sometimes we are more comfortable in our chains than unshackling them,
yes.
because freedom is really scary.
Yeah.
So when you've lived under tyranny, and I'm using that word really broad,
Yeah.
okay? And I'm just like, right now, maybe let's talk about the intellectual tyranny of religion. Most religions, like you were just saying, they don't want you to look too close. They don't want you to have too much information, because once you get too much information, now you think you know as much or more than the pastor. And now the
Yeah.
pastor isn't the pastor anymore. He's not the leader of the flock anymore. He's
Yeah.
got. So there's a real fear there. So that's why there is a subtle tyranny in any of these kinds of situations. I should say most. There
Yeah.
are places and groups out there that they want everybody to get educated. But
Yeah.
when I went to that Baptist Bible study class for a little while, and I got yelled at for asking questions. And I very sarcastically apologized, and I said, "I'm sorry, I thought this was a Bible study class. I thought we were
Yeah.
studying the Bible." And there's like, it was really evident that they had an agenda of what to teach and
Right.
what to say. Well, I was like, "Well, that's not actually studying.
It's
That's manipulating." You
true.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So are we here to study, or are we here to be manipulated?
Simon, I could see you being there. It's like, just like deadpan like that.
Just,
It's like,
yeah, oh man, I was. I mean, I
yeah.
was just, the guy who was like all hot and under the collar, and
Yeah.
he's raising his voice at me, and I'm just like, I really thought we were here to try and learn what the Bible actually says, and but he didn't like it, because it was apparent that, I knew some stuff. I'm not even going to
Yeah.
claim I knew more than
Right.
them, but I knew some stuff. And so I was able to say, "Well, what you're saying isn't quite right."
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, or you're just dead wrong,
Yeah.
about certain things,
I think if you're
and
studying stuff, you're asking questions when you're studying, like, what does this mean? Like,
yeah.
why does this happen? Like, it's an inquiry part of studying. Like, it's not just, here we go.
Most Christians know the New Testament fairly well.
Yeah.
I should say most. I would say most studying, those who like teach and study, they know the New Testament pretty well. Old Testament, not so well.
Yeah.
So once you start throwing the Old Testament at them,
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know much about this part actually. Like, or it's kind of a pocket scripture situation. I always tell Michelle about this. I'm like, it's just like drives me insane, kind of this like lack of context scripture all the time. It's just
Yeah.
like, it's John 3:16, it's Romans, it's all this stuff, and it's just like, okay, I know lots of movie quotes too. But I'm not just gonna say them without the context about it. Like, like scum sucking pigs. Like, well, what part of the movie was that in? Why was a waffle? Like, why were they so upset about it? They're thieves, man. Like, why are they offended by being called scum sucking pigs?
They
They're
look like
literally
scum
scum
sucking
sucking
pigs.
pigs.
They know they're bad
They
guys.
know they're bad guys,
They
but they're
know they're
offended
bad
by it.
guys, and they're offended by being called out.
I'm offended that you called me the thing I am. You son of a motherless goat.
Well, and that's another thing about that movie that I think is so great is because don't you love all the bandits?
It's great.
You
It's
know, I
great.
mean, like, I have a real affection for them. Like, I have a real affection for Jefe and El
I love
Guapo.
Hefe. Yeah.
Like, I want to watch a whole movie of just Jefe and El Guapo, you know?
Hefe.
Jefe. What do you say? Would you say I have a plethora?
Yes.
I just want all kinds of interactions like that, you
Like,
know?
they were entertaining, actually.
Yeah. And so I don't actually want them to like die or anything, you know? It's
Yeah.
like I want them to just continue being, you know? I wrote a thing about pirates. One of my podcast episodes is about pirates and about how, you know, we love pirates, you know, and so we don't actually, you know, the point I was making is that Long John Silver in Treasure Island, we don't actually want him to hang. And it
No.
would be the same thing with like who's Johnny Depp's
Oh
pirate
man.
character? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack Sparrow, yeah.
You never want to see him hang for his crimes, but he's
No.
a pirate. He's a bad guy.
Right.
He's a bad guy. You know,
Yeah.
it's like he should be hung and
Yeah,
everything, you
but he's
know,
Johnny
according to the
Depp.
laws of the time. Yeah, exactly. But we're very amused by our pirate, so we don't want him
Yeah, it's
to
not
get
like real
captured
pirates, actually. You know,
and
they're like in boats, like speed boats.
hung. Yeah.
They look nice. They're wearing no outfits. It's nothing like that. It's all
Yeah.
disheveled. All of a sudden, these
Yeah.
pirates are like very regal. You know, it's like,
They're very fetching.
yeah. It's Long John Silver. Like, yeah, most people are like, oh, that's the restaurant in the fast food place. Yeah, Big D's too. Yeah. Like, it's like, nothing says amazing like fast food seafood. I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
Thought that was a good idea. I'm serious, man.
Don't know. I don't know why most people, you know, we're living in the South. Every other restaurant that opens up is another Southern, you know, deep fried Southern food restaurant.
Barbecue or something, yeah. Like, yeah.
And I'm just like, don't you guys get tired of it? I mean,
Seriously.
I'm not saying you don't have to, you have to stop liking it. I'm saying, like, don't you want more? You know, don't you want there to be an Indian restaurant
Right. At a Middle Eastern
or
restaurant or something,
yeah,
Nepali,
exactly.
something,
Yeah, you know, man, because I, yeah, I just don't get it. And it all, you know, I mean, obviously I'm a vegetarian, so I can't eat all the meats and everything, but from what other people tell me, you know, it all tastes the same. So it's like, why do you go, why do you, but obviously people don't want it so much because so many restaurants open and go under really quickly.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, if you're like Ron DeSantis in Florida, close to you, he's banning the research of or lab meat. He's banning
Oh,
lab grown meat.
yeah.
It's gonna hurt people. You know, it's Simon. It's gonna hurt people.
You know, I hate it when I agree with something that Ron DeSantis does. I really do. But
I don't know. It's like, geez. But also in the same instance, let's burn some more books. It's like,
I
come
know
on. Let's ban some books.
he's a really mixed up guy, and
Yeah.
but here's the thing, like I will stand here and say I think he thinks what he's doing is right.
Oh, for sure.
I don't
For
agree with
sure.
him,
He
but
definitely believes it, though. For sure. Yeah.
I would never ban books, and I would never, blah blah
Yeah.
blah. And I would talk to my kids if I saw them reading something questionable, and I would talk to
Yeah.
them and have a conversation and things like that.
Oh, you
But
mean be a parent? Oh, yeah.
oh yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird how that
You
works
know, you let
out? How
parents decide if they don't want those
how you
books or
don't
not.
need the governor to tell my kids what books to read? Isn't that weird? Like I can actually interact with them.
Exactly. Oh, you mean do your job as a parent?
And
Wow. Novel idea.
I feel a lot of like that with so many of these things, but I do think America has a real health food problem,
Sure.
and so I appreciate anybody trying to do something about it. I
Yeah.
really do.
Yeah.
And so if Ron DeSantis is the guy to help us eat healthier, fine.
It doesn't
Fine.
seem like
Put on your big white boots, Ron DeSantis,
it.
and help us.
One thing I did agree with Trump, he said DeSantis has no personality. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. See, it's possible to agree with that. I was
We
like, yeah, that's
got
probably about right. That's
it's
about
a real
right.
kumbaya moment here
Yeah, I was
we
like,
were having
okay,
here.
we have something to agree on. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure
It's
there's
possible.
a plethora of things we would
Say
all agree on. How's vegetarianism going for you, by the way?
Great, actually. You know what? This is going to sound weird. Okay, I'm going to tell you a short story. I know how strange this sounds because I told this story to my wife like 2 days ago. I said, I just want to preface this. This sounds strange. I know this. I'm not like whacked out and like, I don't, I'm saying weird stuff and I don't know it. I feel like I like transforming. Like for like 2 weeks straight, I didn't feel like myself. Like I was feeling not great. And like the inside of my mouth was swollen and my teeth were killing me. And this out of nowhere. Like I just as soon as I started just like and then my gut started feeling differently and all that. And everything just like, you know, especially when you work out a lot and stuff, you know your body. You know how you feel. You're very in touch with how you feel, aches, pains, and stuff. I said, oh, this is different. Something's different here. And then it just went away. And I feel awesome. And I said, I think my gut biome has changed dramatically. And one, this may be too much information, but now when I go to the bathroom and poop, it doesn't smell anymore. Like this doesn't smell bad anymore. And I was like, oh, I feel like inside of my body was going through this really rough and tumble change. From like what I was doing to what I'm doing, it like physically was changing me from the inside. And I said, I feel like maybe this is how like a werewolf feels when he's transforming into in a movie. It's like she's like ah, it's like and of course I got a lot of flack for that because that sounds ridiculous. But it did. I was like, maybe I was like transform. I'm transforming to like the higher version of myself. It's like
I love it. Yeah, it's amazing when you cut out junk food,
yeah.
how your body changes.
It
Then
changes,
it
man.
really changes. And I think, once again, I think a lot of us are scared of that change.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are worried. It's like, because what we hear when we say, vegetarian diet, vegan
Yeah.
diet, anything like that, we hear you can't do
Yeah.
something. You
Yeah.
can't eat something without realizing how much freedom it's now giving you. It's like, oh, well, I very rarely eat fried food.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember the last time I had heartburn.
Yeah, exactly.
No clue. Years at least,
Right.
no problems there. I actually talked to a medical professional one time, and we were it's funny how when you're talking to other people in the fitness and health feel you end up talking about poop.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
But it is a real indicator of your health. He called them sinkers and stinkers. That's your unhealthy poop. And but when you have poop that floats
Yeah.
and it doesn't smell too bad, then you know your gut's in a really, really good place.
Yeah.
And so it sounds really funny, but I look all the time.
Me
I see
too.
what kind of poop I have, you
Yeah.
know.
Yes, we went there.
Yeah. You know, I'm not putting on a glove and, you know, reaching
No,
in the
no.
toilet and dissecting it. You know,
No.
I just take a look, you know,
Take a look.
and
Yeah.
I'm usually quite healthy, I gotta
Yeah.
say, you know.
Yeah.
And right now, as I'm trying to heal from mono, I'm doing everything I can. So I'm doing like a green detox, you know, drink,
Yeah.
and combining that with what's the word I'm looking for? The not probiotic, but the billions of,
Like a flora, gut flora and stuff.
yeah, taking stuff from my gut flora
Yeah.
basically to
Yeah.
like get it back on
Yeah.
track after all this. So anyway, it's like a whole thing, and your gut is it really is your other brain,
It's your other
you
brain.
know.
It's so
Yeah,
important.
so yeah, like so gut health is so important, and I think most people don't realize that they feel bad all the time, and it's directly linked to just how they eat.
Completely. And the other part of that too is, one, big shout out, is a new Netflix special about gut health. It's pretty awesome. It just came out. But two, like you get used to feeling bad. Like you acclimatize to feeling bad. So you don't really think you feel bad. You just are like, well, this is just normal. From you've normalized feeling bad. And then if you actually give yourself the shot to feel better, that's when you realize how bad you used to feel. When you start feeling better, you're like, oh, that was really bad. And like for me, it's not like I felt bad before. I just realized, I was like, what is happening to the inside of my, seriously, like the inside of my mouth feels so different than it used to. I don't know what that is. Like it was strange. And then like just from my esophagus down to my gut and poop and everything, and just my body in general, I was like, whoa. And I wasn't a big meat eater, like at all. I was eating meat like once a week. Simon, like it wasn't like I'm going to eat meat every day, you know. It's like I'm going to slather on some, like it was none of that. I hadn't eaten barbecue for like 10 years. Like I'm just not that I wasn't into it, you know, like, and it felt like a massive shift internally for me. I just started feeling good. But I think like if you feel bad like I felt, you may start wavering and go, I don't want to feel like this regularly, you know. And it's I equate it to like new exercisers. You feel like shit in the beginning because you're not used to the stimulus that's being provided to your body, that you're just not used to it. That's what happened to me. So I was like, I'll ride this out, you know, like, and it's just strange though, like feeling like you're transforming internally. You're like, what is going on inside here? Like, what's up with my mouth? Like, it's like, it's getting worried for a second.
It's weird. But all those changes, what you said about 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, like
I
2 weeks.
feel like
Yeah.
most
Wasn't
of
great. Yeah.
these, and I feel like for most changes that we have to make, that's about the timeline to
Yeah.
where it starts to become comfortable and we acclimate to the change, whether it's like you go off sugar, you go
Yeah.
off caffeine, you know, but you make these changes in your diet for health reasons and stuff like that. And it takes about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it says a lot about us as a species that most of us can't hack 2 weeks.
Exactly right.
You
We're like
know, we
going
just
back.
can't.
Like,
Yeah, not worth it,
not
you
worth it.
know.
Man.
So I mean, you've seen it all the time, you know, where people come into the gym. You know, they might last 2 weeks, they might last 2 months,
Yeah.
but quite often those things fail. You know, they feel
Yeah.
sore, they don't feel, you know,
Yeah, it
blah,
doesn't feel
blah, blah.
great. Yeah.
Doesn't feel great at first, you know, it really doesn't. Until you start seeing the transformation,
Yeah.
it really doesn't feel, feels really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah. People don't want that. They don't like that. You know, it's like, I want to feel good. Like, I know, but it requires work. Like, you know, I know you feel good when someone delivers you food, you get that instant high. You know, it's like, it's even like, you know, now they have very fast acting edibles because, you know, waiting 45 minutes is too long.
Oh, way too long. Way too long.
I was like, I don't know. I kind of like the 45-minute window. I was like,
It's kind of nice. You kind of wait for it. It gives you
you gotta
something to look
wait.
forward to,
Yeah,
you know?
you know.
And, you know, for me, who takes them to help myself sleep,
Yeah.
it's perfect for me to just kind of like want, have that space
Yeah.
where I'll take, you know, like 10 milligrams or whatever. And
Yeah.
then I just like have that space to kind of know I'm winding down now.
Yeah,
And you kind of
definitely.
give myself that rhythm to wind down and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's been a night and day change in my sleep habits. It really
Yes,
has.
definitely. Especially with sleep. Like, I often tell people, like, I said, if you're sleeping poorly, that's it's harming you in almost all phases of your life. Like, you're probably snappy at people you love. You're not productive at work. Like, it's affecting everything. If you just change the basics of your sleep habits, you would actually probably solve a lot of your problems in general. Like, just one thing. But it's like this, you know, it's another thing. It requires work. It requires some intervention type of thing. And I just don't like when people tell me, I'm just not a good sleeper. I'm like, well, you just gave up. Like, what's with this giving up? Like, well, seriously, like, that's just, oh, I'm dumb. I'm not smart. I'm not a good. Well, you're literally just telling me that you're just a quitter. Like, you don't, like, do you think that lowly of yourself that you can't get put in any work to change? Like, that's a cop out. I tell people, I'm like, that's a cop out, man.
I
Like,
think that's brilliant, you know, and we all need to get called out, you know,
yeah.
we all need to be called scum sucking pigs sometimes, you
And then
know.
be offended by it.
What? Us?
Us.
I call people out all the time because, you know, one of the things that I think people mistake is like you have to make huge, big changes.
Yeah.
Small changes have huge
Huge.
repercussions if you stick to them,
Yeah.
you know. And so sometimes people get really excited, and I'll calm and you know, especially when I was a trainer, and I would try to calm people down and be like, before you go and buy the whole rack of supplements and all
Yeah.
those kinds of things, it's like, are you a coffee drinker? And they're like, yeah, okay, eat two eggs and a cup of coffee before coming to work out. It'll be just as good as any of these like pre-supplements
Exactly.
that you're going to be taking. You know, I mean, it really will be, you
Yeah.
know, there's, and I'm not trying to down the supplement industry or whatever. I take supplements, you know, and things like that. A big way that I get my protein in is I try to find the best quality whey protein, and I do fruit whey smoothies and things like that, you know, and I take a host of vitamins and things like that. A lot of that for me is trying to keep myself from getting mono again. You
Yeah.
know, and
Yeah.
I'm just really, you know, so, but, you know, what I would tell other people is like, dude, a multivitamin, you know, I mean, a good one, you know, I mean, you just a multivitamin and a healthy diet, you know, you just don't need much more than most people don't need
No,
much more
don't.
than that.
No. No.
You know,
No.
are you competing? Are you a pro athlete? You know, are you
Right,
know?
exactly.
If you're not, you know, I mean, then you probably don't need, you know, what the pro athletes are taking or
Of
doing. You
course.
don't need any of that.
No.
You
No, you don't. It's just,
know?
and the food thing I think is so personal. You know, it's just I mean, I think it's certain like how we're approaching food is certainly gaining a lot of steam and it's more mainstream now, but there's still a huge amount of there's still those people like, oh, you eat like that? Like, I just couldn't do that. I've had some friends that said, I don't know if I could do that. I'm like, oh, I mean, you could. I mean, you may not like it. I mean, it's not like you couldn't. This whole quitting before starting things is a real issue for me with a lot of them. Like,
I can
can't
see
quit
that.
before you start. Like,
Yeah.
there's a difference between quitting. You tried it and then you're like, all right, I'm bowing out. I gave it a good effort. But the quitting before starting is so mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. And waiting till it's a crisis.
Yeah.
That was the other thing where, when I became vegetarian 19 years ago or whatever, it was seeing, health problems that my parents have,
Yeah.
things like that, and being like, I don't want any of those. You
Yeah.
know, and you can't avoid
That's
everything.
right.
Here I am trying to recoup from mono again.
Yeah.
You know, I
Right.
mean, you can't, there's only so much you can do. But I think a lot of things that we've just accepted as a part of our lives,
Yeah.
like cancer and things like that.
Sure.
Here I'm probably jinxing myself, and now I have colon cancer.
Way
Poof.
great to go.
But yeah.
Jeez, man. Stop this type of conversation.
But I'm just saying, like, I just feel like preventative medicine is the way to go. And we're not preached preventative medicine,
No.
especially not from an early age. Nobody talked to me about preventative, things. He's talking about what you do after it happens.
Yeah. Right.
Oh. But yeah, you didn't have to live a whole life eating, red meat and processed
Oh.
foods and all these kinds of things. You didn't have to do that to your colon.
No.
There was no reason to. There really wasn't.
No. And, it's like anything. It's like what you grow up with, what people tell you, and then you give your power away. You go, I must be a meat eater. Or let's say you grew up being vegan or whatever. I must be a vegan because I never questioned it. This goes both ways. This is not like
Yeah.
this is like for meat eaters or not. No, it's anything. It's like
Yeah.
have some thought process, like, is this actually good for me personally? And make some decisions on that. But if it's like, I get the pull. Like if you're, let's say you're in Alabama and you're in Texas or you're Mississippi, right? I mean, listen, obviously this is not true for every single person, but there is some relevance and truth that, you're in a place where it's more likely that you're gonna grow up having this nutritional approach towards eating barbecue food all the time, fried foods. It's just the nature of where you live and how you grew
Yeah.
up and the people you're around. But if you more than likely grew up in California and you were in LA or something like that, listen, you're gonna see people who are vegans more often or vegetarians than you will see in Florence, Alabama. It's just the nature. But is that good for you, actually? Just because you're there doesn't mean it's for you.
This is going to sound like a joke, but it's not a joke. Never in my life have I been around so many people, and for those of you listening, I'm going on, well, I'm in my third year of being an Alabaman, So, never in my life have I even considered people having so many conversations about how good the food at a gas station is. I know that sounds like a punchline to a
It
joke, but
does.
it's not a joke. It's
Yeah.
not a joke at all. And I was at a party very recently, and I heard some people talking about it, and I called them out. I was like, "What is with Southern people and gas station food? I don't understand it at all."
Yeah.
They're like, "Well, it's just, part of the culture or whatever, I mean, there's a lot of, mom and pop places that,
Yeah.
open up in a gas station or something like that." I was like, "Okay, I can deal with that." And then they started talking about there's a place that advertises that they've never changed the oil in 100 years. And this is like they're bragging. They're bragging.
In the
And so
fryer
they're
we're talking
like,
about here,
yeah,
like
they're talking about in the fryer. And so they're advertising like it's the same oil that's been in there for 100 years. And I turned to them and was like, that's bullshit, right? And
yeah, there's no way.
they're like, well, that's what they say. I was like, listen, when you cook, food soaks up the oil.
That's exactly right.
So they have to keep refilling it. And I asked everybody, you guys ever heard about, the ship of Ulysses? And some people had, some people hadn't. And I was like, well, it's this thing where
The ship of Ulysses is his sailboat. You know, it gets damaged over time, and so you have to replace different parts of it. So over time, you've replaced now everything.
Yeah.
Now the question is, it's a philosophical question, is it still the ship of Ulysses? And I said, that's the same thing with oil. They're not telling you they've been using the same oil for 100 years. What they've been telling you is that they haven't cleaned the kitchen in 100 years.
Yeah.
That's what they're telling you.
You don't want to be eating that food, I promise you.
Yeah.
It's like that oil turns black, jet black.
Oh man, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah.
So disgusting. And that's just, that might be a difference in culture. I'm not trying to bash somebody's
Yeah.
culture, but I think, there are certain things in my own culture that I grew up with that I've freely let go of,
Yeah.
and just decided that's not a part of the culture that's important to me. And I really feel like that with the South, it's like, hey guys, maybe frying everything isn't a part of the culture you have to hold on to with
Yeah.
such reverence,
Yeah. I don't think people know what to do without that type. Like, it's like, well, what do I replace this with? Because the identity is so heavily tied into this is what this state's food is. You know, you get the best ribs here. And, this is how we do things. And in terms of this school, these traditions, it's still, you could still be a Southerner without some of these things. And I just don't think people know how to like exist. If your identity is wrapped up in like food, like this is what we eat, donuts every day here. It's like, okay, like, I mean, I like a donut, but not like every day. I mean, it's like
I
you
could
don't know
use a
how to
donut right
exist
now.
without. I know it sounds good to me, but it's like the food culture is not who you are as a person. You realize that, right? It's like, just because everybody eats out of a convenience store, a gas station, doesn't mean you have to. I mean, have you ever eaten a hot dog at a 7-Eleven back in the day? They turned that thing for like days. I mean, it looks so beat up. Remember thinking,
So
even when I was a
shriveled,
kid,
and
I was like, this doesn't look appealing to me.
it doesn't look like food. It
It
doesn't
doesn't
look
look
like
like
food.
food. It was like,
Because
wow.
I don't know if it technically is. I really
That's
don't know.
right.
I don't
It
know
may not be.
if it makes, I don't know the qualifier. Like, does food have to have any kind of beneficial value?
Yeah. I don't know. Someone can answer that.
Or does it have to just be, we just have to be able to consume it
Yeah.
and somehow get rid of it,
That could be a lot of things.
Because I mean, so many of the Parmesan cheese place,
Yeah.
companies that were claiming to make Parmesan cheese were putting wood chips in it.
Yeah.
So I guess wood chips are food.
This could be food. Yeah, I mean.
I guess. I mean, if you're going by these qualifiers, like you can eat it.
Yeah. It was just like if you go to a gas, like you ever go by a gas station, it's like best pizza in town. And my first thought, Simon, I swear, I'm guessing yours is too. Really? Based off of what?
Get me out of this town. Quick.
Best cup of coffee in the city. How? What coffee? Where do you get it from? What are the grounds? Based off of what? Was there a competition? That's literally what I'm thinking. Like, was there a competition? It's like, how do we know? I mean, maybe you just slapped it up there and thought a bunch of people would fall for it. I don't know. Like, that's
I
literally how I
mean,
think.
yeah. I guess according to that, I should put a sign out front and says, best white guy in town. Because I really feel like
Best white guy in town. You know, some people will believe that. Like, he is, you know? Like, I don't know him, but he is. Like, if I saw that one, I think it was hilarious.
Once in a while, I would just
The
stand out by the sign as cars go by.
best white guy in town. Honestly, it'll be so funny. How? That I would come up to you. How do you determine this? Like, just
Well, I just looked around and
I looked around and I said, it's me. I've done the research, Matt. Okay. You pulled a Tom Cruise. I've done the, don't be so glib, Matt. That was one of my favorite things. So glib. I've done the research, Matt. You know,
That's
the
right.
Scientology loves me. I'm the best white guy.
That's my guy in town. Yeah.
It's actually really funny. Well, there are a lot of you, so I mean, what's
Yeah, I have no idea the criteria for that. I know you have to
like
be white, you know, and that's and a
how do you
guy.
determine it's like the best?
Yeah. Mean, you know.
You could actually be in Congress with that. I mean, it's like best white guy in town. Yep,
That's
I'm
white guy
representing
in
the
town.
third district of Alabama. Best white
Yeah.
guy in town.
Best white guy in town. You bet.
You get some votes for that, man.
Could you ever go into politics? Could you ever imagine yourself?
No. Actually, you know, I did that. I did. And this is going to sound very egotistical, but we all have ego. And I did tell my wife back when I was like 35, I said, I think I'd be a good president. I really do. I think I would be. I said, I'm not a psycho. I'm like number one. And I said, I'm not trying to pump myself up too much here, but you know, listen, best black guy on this podcast. And that's true.
Yeah, you could run under the banner best black president.
Best black president.
Maybe family just like, well, wait a
Duking it out with
minute.
Obama. Like, come on, lady, let's go. I'll give Jesse Jackson a run from
A
the
better black president,
the
that'll be your,
better black president. I thought, but I think I wouldn't want to do it just because I just think I'm not sure it wouldn't change me into a bad person. That's what I worry about. I feel like it would fundamentally alter my values and my integrity. Because I'll preface this. My dad was in the military for 28 years. He worked at Crystal City after his military career. He worked with a lot of presidents. I'm not trying to like clout chase whatever. I'm just giving you guys like factual things. My dad briefed President Obama weekly when he was president. My dad has been in many congressional meetings, and I never forget him telling me, he said, the government's garbage. He said, even the great guys are not good people, generally. He was like, it's just lobbyist after lobbyist and greed after greed is a bad place. Washington, D.C. is a pretty bad place. And
Yeah.
I believe him. My dad's very
No,
much
I
into
do.
integrity. He said, it's just, and he said, it changes people. That place changes people. And I feel like, even as like, I feel like I'm a good person, I feel like I could become a real bad person. Just because if I got it, because I see good people going into politics and they start that turn. They hit that, not the plant-based transformation, it's the political transformation.
Yeah.
There's just all greed, it's all politics, it's all like saying things for constituents, and is the values are just get obliterated. I feel like I could be susceptible to that because I'm a person. That's why I feel like it.
Yeah.
I just don't think I would be. I think I would like to think I would have the fortitude to be like, no, but I think the system is so bad, people probably just end up playing the game because they have to on some level, you know.
And I wonder how many people felt like they could compromise and
Yeah.
still keep their integrity
Right.
and but lost track of where the line was.
Yeah. That and I think that's what I would worry about myself, in all honesty, because I feel like would I start morphing into this other person and not know it, which that would be scary to me, actually, for me personally. And I feel like that happens to really good people. They start sacrificing. They let more of that rope go out, a little bit more. And then all of a sudden they've lost complete integrity. And then you see it in people, all these people who couldn't stand Trump before he got in, Republicans. And now they're kissing the ring, they're kissing the Converse, as in The Last Dragon. You know, kiss my Converse.
That's right.
You know, that's one of the best movies. I
Love
love
it.
that. Kiss my
Love
Converse, the Shogun of Harlem. It's like And I feel like all of a sudden, when you start making that turn, you've lost all credibility to me. I just don't want to lose my credibility. It's for myself, actually, you know.
See, I have no credibility, so.
You are the best white guy in town.
I mean, that doesn't have a lot of credibility, let's face it.
This is the same guy who won't go to therapy because he has too much ego. So I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. So,
like, I don't care.
You know, I was becoming better friends with an acquaintance recently, and we were having some little text conversations back and forth, and they just asked me, you know, can I ask you like personal questions and stuff like yeah. that? Is that okay? And I said, that's fine. I said, I'm going to warn you though. I never claimed to be a good person. So, you know, I might tell you the truth, but you might not like it. Right. You know, I think I'm fine. I'm actually really comfortable in that space.
Yeah.
In that space of being able to, that's my version of integrity, is yeah. just doing whatever I want. And yeah. luckily, normally what I want to do is I deem as good, you right. know. Now, whether somebody else deems it as good, I don't know, you know. Yeah. And so that's why, you know, according to X, you know, religious belief over there, my sensibilities might be horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and they might be really disingenuous or whatever. But I'm on a different wavelength than that. Yeah. I'm not saying good or bad, better or worse, anything like that. What I'm saying is different. And if somebody else thinks I'm a bad person because I think differently, I'm totally comfortable with it. So yeah. I'll just think what I think. And, but I think what I think in accordance to the best information that I can find.
Right.
And the moment I find better information, I'll change, you know, once I'm able to absorb the information and understand it, yeah. you know, so that I can properly make the change. I'm not just somebody who's just going to jump around everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm always going to go with the best information that I can find. And if that information disagrees with what the status quo thinks is good, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'll be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. I'm totally fine.
Am I sensing a run in Alabama for the 15th district?
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Best white guy yeah. in town. I don't care what you guys think.
Yeah.
I'll be that guy.
What's your platform? Well, I'm just the best white guy. You know, I mean, that's all there is to it.
That's all there is to it. You better believe it, baby.
Yeah. Like, if a black guy runs against me, he might be better than me.
Well, he's but not
I'm
the best
white,
white
guy. White woman runs against me, she might be better than me, but I'm the best white guy.
What a slogan. Just, you know what it is? I think it's like, I see these examples of people and I'm like, I just don't want to become that. I'll tell you a good example is like the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. You know, she has that, I guess, a book coming out. Wow, you heard of this, right? This whole thing.
What a piece of work.
She met Kim Jong-un and then, you know, and they read the excerpt and it was like, okay, anyways. And then comes out, she didn't meet him actually. And then when any news outlet asks her, did you actually meet him or is that's not true? She just couldn't answer it. Not
she
couldn't. She didn't
to
want
answer.
To. She refused to answer it.
Yeah.
And then, so I've met with many world leaders. Did you or did you not meet with this person? Well, you know, I don't discuss the world leaders I talk to. You put it in your book. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we figured out we got rid of that excerpt. Well, how did it get in there? I don't talk about world leaders. And this to me is the crux of what I desperately don't want to become is that. That yeah. is the literal translation of what I don't want to become, as someone who literally can't just answer a question, a simple question. Like, it's not like you're not going to be the governor if you say, yeah, I lied. Yeah, you know, I wanted it to make sound more sizzly. Like, you're still yeah. going to be the governor of South Dakota. Newsflash. It's like, yeah. and you'll probably get reelected. Seriously, like, I can't yeah, become that person. Simon, I cannot become that. Like,
How easy would it be for her to just say, yeah, but I can't talk about it. That's why we took it out of the book.
Yeah, I really can't
talk. I just feel like I really shouldn't talk about it. I mean, you're already lying.
You're already
tell a better lie. You know what I'm saying?
I don't
understand how these people, you know, think that these lies that they tell are like, oh, well, pulled the wool over my eyes. No,
like, oh,
no, she can't talk about it. I see. She doesn't want to talk about it. I see. Oh, well, she definitely did it, though. I mean, who believes her?
I don't.
This is what I mean. It's like, your problem, I hope she loses the next election, and it's because of this.
Right.
You know, just because of what you're saying with the integrity and everything, that's all I want from people. It's like, oh, can you actually answer a question?
Just answer it.
It's just answer it. That's all I care. You know,
yes
answer
or no.
Yes, no.
Yes,
know,
no. No, yeah. I did it. Let's move on. And like, I feel like if I was the reporter, I would be like, can you just answer this? Because honestly, the more you don't answer it, the more people like me are going to keep badgering you about it. We would like to move on, but you keep giving these weird answers. I just like, it's actually better if you just own up to it and move on. Like, just move on. Yes, I know. It was stupid. I shouldn't have put it in.
I met Kim Jong-un and I killed his puppy. Okay. I'm sorry, but the puppy was killing Kim Jong-un's chickens and I had to put him down.
I just see that and I go, this is not a reality I ever want to be a part of. And, but I, even though I trust myself, I know the wheel is strong. The wheel is so strong. The environment is so strong that it could happen to anyone, like to become that. I just would rather not put myself in that. So this is why I think there's a lot of good humans who I think should run for office. But I think they feel very similar to me, or they just don't want to deal with it. They just don't want to deal with the garbage. How many people retire from Congress and they talk so much shit about Congress when they retire? This is a garbage place. All sides of the aisle. This is what a horrible place to be. Horrible place. Dude, why were you there for like 60 years? I think I know. Must be the health care, all these benefits, the money, the power. Yeah. No, I know
power,
why you were
money,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lobbyists taking you out on, you know, cruises and stuff.
I know why you're there. I'd rather somebody just tell me that. I'm in Congress because I get health care for life. And honestly, people give me free stuff all the time. I would actually respect that. I would respect that. I'd be like, you know, a lot of people would do the same.
Perks. Gotta love the perks, you know.
I mean, gotta love the perks, man, you know.
You know?
You know, I'm staying in this district. No one's going to change their mind about me probably. You know, it's like, just be straight up about it.
You know, and that's always helped me really respect somebody like a Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Because he really doesn't have any stake in the game other than to be a public servant.
Yeah.
Like you can say what you want about him. If you're a pro-Trump guy and you hate Mitt Romney because he's anti-Trump, you know, if you're a Democrat and you don't like Mitt Romney just because he's a Republican, whatever. You know, you can have your opinion all you want. But I don't hear about Mitt Romney in scandals.
Never.
I don't hear about Mitt Romney, you know, taking bribes. I don't hear about Mitt Romney this, that, or the other. I hear about Mitt Romney standing by what he says.
Yeah.
You know, and voting with his conscience. There's very few people who are willing to stand up to their own party and do that.
That's true. That's true.
And so I just respect Murkowski from Alaska.
Yeah.
Romney, I really respect these people who they seem to actually be there to serve.
Yeah.
And they don't, and you know, I mean, they can be censured, they can, you know, what have you, and they'll just stand by their principles.
Yeah. Right. It probably takes a lot of guts for that in the situation they're in.
Yeah. Like, how is Mitt Romney the bad guy when he's put up against Trump? How is he the bad guy?
The bad guy.
But like, so many Republicans view him as the bad guy because he's, you know, he won't, like you say, kiss the ring.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to, I mean, kiss those stupid shoes he's got. Conversely. You know, and like, to me, like, again, like, selling a Bible, the Trump Bible, it's unbelievable. First of all, $60? I mean, that's crazy. Second of all,
You know, the Gideons give them out for free, you know.
exactly. That's what my wife said. She goes, you know, you get this for free, right? I mean, it's like, but you know, it's got a, it's a patriotism Bible, you know, it's like,
it's got the Constitution in it as well, yeah, right?
That most Americans don't know. So anyways, it's just seriously.
But they revere it like scripture. They,
yes.
And they revere it in the same way, because the same people who are buying the Bible, they don't know what the Old Testament says. Mm-hmm. They don't know what the law of Moses even is. You know, they think it's the Ten Commandments. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, that's part of it. But, you know, so they, and they understand the Constitution on about that level.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I know it's about God. You know, I know the Constitution is about our country, you know. I mean, that's really it. You know,
that's your platform. That's like the best white guy in town thing. That's the like best white guy. No, it just is.
Oh man. I tell you, I get these whims all the time about just like setting up one of those tables. You know, those prove me wrong tables, know? And I just want to do things like, the Old Testament never talks about Jesus. Prove me wrong.
That'd be funny, man.
I mean, or, you know, or the God you worship has nothing to do with the God of ancient Israel. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
Right.
Prove me wrong. The God in the first couple chapters of Genesis is not the Christian God. Prove me wrong. You know, I mean, just little things like that where it's just, it's just fun. I just want people to come up and interact with
the
me.
The Star like, Wars hey. Prequels are not a great movie. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
That might be the worst one. Yeah. That might get you the most fired up.
The Last Jedi is the worst movie of all time. Prove me wrong.
I'm telling you, that might be your biggest one.
Oh, like, man.
People get real worked up about that one.
Southern cooking sucks. Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong. That actually sounds like a great podcast, actually. Just like, all right, we're gonna say this stuff, prove us wrong.
Prove me wrong. Yeah. Oh man, I think I would do really well with one of those shows that takes callers.
Oh man, that would be great, actually. Yeah,
I'm always curious about a lot of those shows. Like, do they have a whole team like helping them like look up the information as they, because I mean, a lot of these call-in shows, some of these guys are really smart guys and gals, and I wouldn't take that away from them, but sometimes I'm like, you had that information real quick, like at your fingertips.
Yeah,
you didn't have to like look up anything. So I feel like they just have a team who's like filtering the calls, and then they must have some kind of screen in front of them where,
I don't know, maybe
it's like, you know, they already pull up some of the information, or you know, the scripture or whatever.
Yeah, you know what might be interesting, Simon, for us to do like a YouTube live where people could just come in and just start doing, you know, in the chat, start making comments about what we say, and then we comment about it and stuff.
I would love it.
How great would that be? I think that would be pretty good, actually.
It's a good way to get me in trouble,
like the best white guy in town. Can you imagine all that stuff on there? There's no way. I'm the best white guy. Prove it, Jimmy.
Oh man, I've commented on a few YouTube videos in the past like 6 months. I'd never done that before. I've never been a YouTube commenter.
Yeah, telling you, maybe a thing, man.
Yeah, I found myself just here and there being like, you know what, I think you're wrong, and here's why.
I'll be that guy.
I'm always really nice about it. I'm always just because I believe in that. I believe in cordial arguments.
Yeah, I'm the same way. No need to get all crazy.
Do you remember the Monty Python skit where the guy goes to have an argument, and there's like, so he goes to this place and they tell him, oh, go in that room. That's, you know, and he pays to sit down and argue with somebody. And what's great is like, they just start sitting, you know, he just sits down. He's like, I'm here to have an argument. He's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Like, well, yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. He's like,
yeah.
But anyway, what I always love about Monty Python is that they're so smart, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of just leaving it there, the guy just starts saying, you're not arguing with me. Yes, I am. No, you're not. It's like, you're just contradicting me.
Yeah.
And he says, an argument is, you know, a set of claims, you know, with evidence and all these kinds of things. So, and we have a back and forth, giving our sides and our rebuttals, this, that, and the other. That's an argument. So I think sometimes people think arguing is bad. It's like, no, arguing is how we get shit done.
Yeah.
Contradicting without proper arguing, that's bad.
Right.
Just saying you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's lazy.
Okay. Yeah. That's not arguing. Yeah. So I love arguing.
Yes.
I love, you know, because that's how we measure claims to see if they have any veracity to them, is that we argue them. And that's what we were saying earlier, is that we should all argue with our own beliefs.
Yeah, that's right.
And our own belief culture. And I mean, if I'm ever on the side of science, it is 100% because of this, is that science is in a constant argument with itself.
Yeah.
The next, you know, astrophysicist is trying to prove the last astrophysicist wrong, right. Not because they have some personal vendetta, but because new information, better information.
So true. Simon, you know what? I feel like you're feeling better. I think the turn was when you started calling yourself the best white guy in town.
The best white guy in town.
All of a sudden, you started feeling better. And no, I don't think there's any argument about that. I'm glad you showed up. You were able to show up. Hopefully you feel a little bit better after doing this. And go lay back down and have strange thoughts, okay?
I will.
Just, you know.
Think about how my spirit is a woman.
Yeah, yeah. I want you to dig deeper on that for me, okay? Yeah. Thank you so much for spending time with me as usual, man. I really
appreciate it. Thank you, man.